welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you joined me today. And before we go on in the message that I began last week on the presence of the Lord, a subject near and dear to all of our hearts, I trust, that I would like to take just a moment to pray for you and ask God to move in your life, to meet your needs, to strengthen you, and to give you that refreshing that you need. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the privilege. Lord, even though miles separate us, Lord, and you're just using the vehicle of transmitted airwaves, Father, I thank you that in the Spirit there's neither time nor distance, but Father, there is power in agreement. I thank you for the laws of spiritual dynamics and the spiritual principles that operate as you've outlined in your word in terms of the importance of unity and being in agreement. Father, you said, Jesus said, if anyone would agree on anything, is touching anything that they would ask, that it would be granted by the Father. And so, Father, I thank you right now that as your children are agreeing, brothers and sisters, Father, for the several needs in their lives. Lord, you said in the day of trouble, call unto me and I will deliver thee. Lord, I thank you that you are mindful of every single problem, every trial, every challenge we face. And Father, I thank you that it is your ongoing sustaining help, the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives that continues to give us hope and direction and vision and energy and purpose. And so, Lord, I ask that you will just minister to the needs of your family. Father, I thank you for your anointing to be upon us, Lord, as we share this time together. Thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. And thank you, Lord, that we are open and not only to hear the word, but to do the word. Father, that we will lay hold of the way of the Lord. It says in your word, Lord, the children of Israel saw your acts, but Moses desired, he knew your ways. We want to know your ways, Lord. We want to know your nature, your character. We want you to reveal yourself to us. And so, Father, we give you this time, the broadcast this week, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence, your anointing, which will destroy every yoke, according to the prophet Isaiah. Father, we thank you for it. Amen and amen. And well, as I shared, if you were able to be with me last week, we were talking about the presence of the Lord, and I promised we would continue on. David said, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Not only is that a beautiful comfort in terms of our own lives, in terms of knowing what our eternal and everlasting condition and state is going to be with the presence of the Lord, in these hours in which we're living in perilous times, as Paul told Timothy would come. And it is so important that we know the Word of God, stand on the Word of God, be girt with the full armor of God, and we are very equipped for the spiritual warfare that we are facing. That's why the armor of God is important, that shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. But beloved, there are lessons to be learned in the scriptures. And so as we say, oh yes, Lord, I want your presence, there are certain principles that we must understand and we must realize and we must acquiesce as to the truth of them and have them operational in our lives. And to do so, we were looking at the life of a man after God's own heart, and that was David. God took him from the sheepfolds. He anointed him to be king over Israel. He was king over Judah for 7 years, and then all of Israel came together. They wanted to anoint him king over all of Israel. One of the very, very first things he did, a very radical move, he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David, which was a very radical thing. You do understand that ever since Moses gave the Israelites the law, only the high priest once a year could go into the holiest of all, into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. And yet God allowed this radical move to be able to take the very presence of God. The blood sacrifices still continued because they had not been done away with. But I believe David was a beautiful prefiguring of the New Testament experience, where that veil is rent and we can come now before the very presence of God. Remember, the veil was rent at Calvary, and we can experience his presence. And so we find, as we looked last week at the 13th chapter of 1 Chronicles, David was so thrilled, and all of Israel, they were united. They all were in agreement. They wanted this to happen. But there was a very tragic event. They had the ark on a new cart, and there were oxen that were pulling it, and one of the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah put his hand against the ark to prevent it from falling, and he was struck dead. And as we go, let me just turn and read those a few verses in chapter 13. It says, David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. He died there. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And he received news that for 3 months the ark was there, and the whole house of Obed-Edom was being blessed, everything that he had. And so we see now, as we're looking at chapter 15, that David again made a second attempt to bring the Ark of God into the tent that he had prepared for it. And in verse 13 of chapter 15, he says, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. In other words, it was commanded, the ark was to be carried up on the shoulders of the priests. There were staves that went through the rings of the ark, and it was to be borne by the priests. Verse 15, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. And then the rest of that chapter goes on about the rejoicing, about they blew the trumpets before the ark of the Lord. It says in verse 25, they went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass that when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And as it says in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, verses 14 and 15, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as I shared last week, there were lessons that David learned as he began his reign as king. And the three things that stood out as I had prepared for this message was the importance of the awareness of the divine nature and character of God, that he is a holy God, and that we have to be aware. We cannot come with a sense of familiarity. That's what Uzzah did. He touched the ark, which was not permitted, and for that reason, that presumption, he died before the presence of the Lord. And then the second thing, the lesson that was learned, is the importance of repentance. That repentance really goes hand in hand with an awareness of the nature of God, that he's a holy God, and with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the scriptures tell us. Israel wanted Moses as a mediator between them and God. They said, you speak with us, we'll hear, but don't let God speak with us lest we die. And his response was, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be for your faces, that ye sin not. And then, of course, We know from that beautiful psalm that David recorded and left us, Psalm 51, after the incident with Bathsheba. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me." He said, "Create in me a clean heart," verse 10, "renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away from thy presence, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Verse 16, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." So we see the importance of repentance to that which goes hand in hand with the awareness of the holiness of God. If you're crying out for God to move in your life, to experience the presence of the Lord, and in your churches, in our corporate settings, I pray that your church is praying for revival. Beloved, on a corporate level, we have to have that same mindset. So often our churches are just, they're a social club. We gather together and we drink our little lattes and have our little breaks. Beloved, if you want the moving of the Spirit of God, you have to come with your focus entirely on the living God. Is there a time for fellowship? Of course, fellowship is wonderful. We grow with fellowship, but there is a time to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that is when we come together in the presence of the Lord. And so, beloved, David was learning these lessons. And if you want to experience revival in your church, in your personal life, we must have an awareness of God's holy nature, walk in the fear of the Lord, and have a repentant heart that we were continually ask God to cleanse us. As David said, "Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me." Well, there's much more I want to share, and I trust you'll be able to join me tomorrow at this same time. We're heard Monday through Friday on this station. And should you miss a broadcast, please feel free to go over to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can listen anytime at your convenience. If you have prayer needs, as always, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you and pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.